Sometimes it takes an obsessive, single-minded personality to make a great scientific discovery. It was certainly the case for two people who devoted their lives to cracking the code of a mysterious language from ancient Greece. Journalist Marguerite Fox chronicles this remarkable story in her book, The Riddle of the Labyrinth. She tells Anne Strainchamps how this language was discovered.
Picture yourself on a beautiful spring day. The year is 1900. You're in the wilds of northern Crete near Heraklion. The great English archaeologist Sir Arthur Evans has just unearthed the ruins of a sprawling, magnificent Bronze Age palace at Knossos, which he immediately dubs the Palace of Minos after the legendary ruler who built the labyrinth with the terrible Minotaur inside. In some of the rooms of this 3,000-year-old palace, Sir Arthur uncovers caches and caches of clay tablets with the strangest writing ever seen. Weird little pictograms of horses' heads, chariots, swords, squiggles, circles. It looks like no writing system known to man. And this writing, which he dubbed Linear B, became one of the great mysteries of the 20th century because no one even knew what language they were written in. So it was the ultimate problem in code breaking. And not surprisingly, it took more than 50 years for the riddle of Linear B to be solved.
To put this in context, you point out what a remarkable thing a written language is. You called it a map.
We tend to take writing for granted, but in fact, writing systems are very rare and precious commodities, and in some estimates, only about 15% or so of the 6,000 languages spoken around the world today even have written forms at all.
Wait, and that's astonishing. Only 15% have written forms?
Right. It's entirely possible to have a language without a writing system, but not so the other way around.
So with Linear B, people were just completely in the dark. Could they even tell if there were sentences or words?
This was exactly the problem. The one thing they were able to determine was that each of these weird little characters of Linear B very likely stood for one syllable. In that respect, it functioned much as the Japanese writing system does today. And there's a trick. You count the number of different characters in the system. If it's an immense number, you have a system like Chinese where every character stands for a different word. A smaller number means you have a syllabic system. A still smaller number, like our 26 letters, means you have an alphabet.
Well, the heroes of your story are the two code breakers who worked on Linear B. One of them is a woman who nearly vanished from history herself, and you've kind of rescued her, Alice Kober. Can you tell us about her?
With pleasure. One of the great surprises, and as it turned out, privileges of doing this book, was getting to write this unsung piece of women's history, like so much of women's history, still by definition unsung. Alice Kober was an overworked, underpaid professor of classics right here at Brooklyn College in New York City, who in the 1940s, working on her own at her dining table in Flatbush, Brooklyn, made herself, because she was brilliant, determined, obsessed, and had a ferocious intellect, made herself into the world's leading expert on Linear B.
And the remarkable thing about this is it's not as though there were guidebooks to tell you how to decipher an ancient language. She had to figure out how to do this, and she deliberately set out to prepare herself. She taught herself, gosh, I think 7 different ancient languages.
That's right. Chinese, ancient Egyptian, all sorts of ancient languages of Asia Minor.
And even more remarkable, this was all before computers. So you paint this picture of her sitting at home at her dining room table night after night, year after year, with thousands of index cards, which she made herself by hand.
Because Alice was working during World War II and afterwards, many commodities that we take for granted were very, very scarce in America. One of them was paper. And so she, by hand, cut nearly 200,000 3x5 cards from the backs of church circulars, old greeting cards, and she kept them. It's kind of tragic because this is almost certainly what killed her. She kept them in these homemade file boxes that were empty cigarette cartons that were just the right size for these slips she made, and on each slip she would write data about all of the patterns for every word and every character in Linear B. 200,000 times over.
That's a lot of cigarettes. Yeah,
that's a lot of cigarettes. And she died very young. She died at the age of 43, 2 years before the code was cracked, almost certainly of some terrible kind of cancer.
Yeah, it's just tragic that she didn't live long enough to finish her work. Who did?
Her work was finished by an equally obsessed and equally brilliant young Englishman named Michael Ventris, who solved the riddle of Linear B in 1952 when he was barely 30 years old. And the fascinating thing about Ventris, besides how young he was and how obsessed he was that after having seen the Linear B tablets in a museum on a school trip when he was about 14, he was obsessed with them ever since. And he, too, tragically died very, very young.
So when Michael Ventris finally deciphered Linear B, how dramatic an event was it?
It was big, big news. It was on the front page of the Times of London. He deciphered the script in 1952. The big public announcement came the next year in 1953. And by coincidence, Edmund Hillary had reached the summit of Mount Everest. And I believe that the account of Hillary and the account of Ventris's discovery were in the paper the same day, and as a result, Ventris's decipherment of Linear B was often called the Everest of Greek archaeology. That's how big it was.
Wow. You said he died just shortly after that, and somewhat mysteriously. What happened?
That's right. The curse of Linear B, scholars call it. It seems people who work the most passionately and the most brilliantly on this script seemed consigned to die young, alas. But Ventris solved the riddle in 52, a month shy of his 30th birthday, and overnight, because it was world news, his life changed. Here, this very brilliant but in some ways very insecure young man who had never been to college was suddenly asked to speak before learned bodies at Oxford and Cambridge, and as academics will, there was a lot of jealousy, there was a lot of sniping. What he determined was that Linear B wrote a very early Greek dialect 500 years before Homer's time and a full 1,000 years before the Greek classical age. And in 1956, 4 years after Ventris cracked the code, he died in a violent late-night car crash that may well have been suicide. But what we do know from his correspondence is he had become deeply depressed by that time. And as he writes in one painful letter, "I've begun to doubt the value of both my vaunted intelligence and indeed of life itself." And so one night, very late at night, he's driving alone and he pulls off the highway at very high speed, collides with a parked truck, and that's the end of his life. So Linear B has this obsessive component and also a tragic component.
Marguerite Fox is a senior writer for The New York Times. She talked with Anne Strainchamps about her book, The Riddle of the Labyrinth.